turn our live stream on. Turn the lights down low. Let the coffee, tea, and cocoa flow. Well, Johnny, you want to show the onliners what you're drinking? Could you go up? Come on. Volume's on. All right, hold on. Back up. Back up. Hold on. And raise it. Raise it. All right, there you go. Now you can kind of tilt it maybe a little more. Hold on. Raise the cup more. Raise the cup. All right, now try tilting. Okay. You guys can't see, but there is tea in there. And the cup's as mad as a hatter.
Yep, but the sad thing is, as mad as we are, the world makes us look sane. Makes him look sane, actually. It's like, if only more people could be as crazy as the Mad Hatter is in the world. For most of the world, that would be going down on the insanity meter. As the main ones are.
We should all just become Muslim and just wrap up from head to toe.
You didn't hear that.
I'm just kidding.
It's probably the goal, God, though.
Because it's
may the Lord rebuke that wicked religion.
Yes.
Well, see, the thing is, we're standing here. We know it's a joke.
Yes. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Through 36, and plan on finishing up Romans 8 next week, which is will be our Christmas in July. Ooh. Sunday, and then the following week, John, if you're up to it,
yeah,
we'll start Romans chapter 9, and then we'll be trading off.
Okay.
And every other week, till further notice. And just FYI, we are streaming these on Sermon Audio now. And for some reason, there's been issues getting these live streams posted permanently. At least we've only done two, but
I think this is the second, isn't it?
The Wednesday night message, I don't know if it's still available. And we put it up there to be posted for people just to make sure it would work, and it didn't. Our desire is to continue to post these permanently, but it'll be on Sermon Audio, and in live stream format it'll be posted, and then continue to post these 11 and Wednesday at 7 studies in edited form, as just pretty much keeping the same format we have for this study and the other studies. But if nothing else, then what I may have to do is start recording on the camera back there, and I'm not going to edit it, but we could just upload it as a study. So
more than one way to skin a cat, right?
Yes. Spoken like a true cat lover.
That's
right. Wow.
But, you know, they do eat a lot of Chinese food, so.
Nowadays, you can say something like, well, there's only one way to destroy the country.
Yes, we've learned that the hard way. All right, so let's get into the study. Romans 8:31. I apologize to those live streamers. I didn't have the live stream on at right at 10 to give you a few minutes to get signed on. We hope everybody was able to. And we'll open with a word of prayer and get into the book. And Brother John, would you open your eyes today?
Amen. Heavenly Father, we are really so glad to be in your presence. And Lord, as ordinary and rotten as we are, the older I get, the more I realize it's all you.
Yes.
It's all your book. It's all your spirit. And it's you doing the work within us. And Lord, I just pray you don't give up on us. Even though we're a small group, I won't as much when God is in it. And Lord, I just pray today, Lord, you open up our hearts with your spirit. And Lord, open up your heart. And please teach us out of your word. And draw us closer to yourself. And Lord, let us not be discouraged. I'm running into a lot of people that are discouraged. They're just puzzled as to what's going on. And your book that's not across the whole United States like it used to be. But we were so blessed to know your truth here today. May we use it wisely. May we use it to continue to encourage our families. And what we learned here today, Lord, may we not only apply to our lives, but help those that are around us. We just ask your mercy upon us this day. Please do a great work in our midst through the teaching and preaching of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Definitely for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, Romans 8, we're going to pick up verse 31. And you'll notice several of these verses are very well known and quoted a lot of times, but they're sadly many times ripped out of context and abused. And that's the reason why we should study the Word of God the way God gave it, verse by verse, and see the context that it's in. And avoid Bible abuse, because that's not just it. Some people might think I'm talking about the liberals who tear the Bible up. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about fundamentalists, evangelicals, you know, people who claim to believe the Bible. King James Bible believers, they will take verses out of context and abuse them. And so let's pick up there in verse 31 and read through 36 and just ask you to read the even numbers. So I'll start with verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Well, God's people say amen.
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 So we're going to...
good word to end on there.
Slaughter.
Yeah, it is. We'll see in a minute. But the simple answer to that first verse there, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, on the one hand, the whole world's against us.
Amen.
But the point is, what can they do?
Yeah.
So they can't really be against us because God's going to deal with them.
Amen.
And that's great encouragement in these days, but it has been for 2,000 years to believers. And then he goes right into the next verse saying, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So here's a big example. These two verses are some of the two most abused verses. Back in my high school days, I played football, and I loved football. I just loved that game. And then in the years since, I'd watched football on every, really, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and some Thursdays.
Yeah.
You know, because the NFL started doing Thursday night football. And, you know, we'd go do, a lot of times, go on visitation or whatever, and then go right in and watch a football game on Thursday night when they played. Friday night is high school football. Where I grew up, it was always Friday. Come up here in Columbus, there were a lot of Saturday games. But down south, the only teams that played on Saturday were the ones who had to use somebody else's football field.
Yeah.
And then Saturday was a sacred day for Jews and Seventh-day Adventists and Buckeyes. And our day was Saturday, and every Saturday belonged to the Buckeyes. If they were playing, and back then, not all games were on TV. So either if they were on TV, it was a big game, usually.
Yeah.
And then if not, we'd have the radio on, listen to it while we're doing whatever, sit down on the back porch swatting flies or whatever. Sunday morning, before church, turn on WOSU and WPBS and watch the replay of the Buckeye game. And they also played, we got to see more of the band when we watched on Sunday mornings. And so I love football, but I've seen this verse used by football teams about the opposing team. And I've seen guys who would win a game and they'd score the big, you know, last touchdown or field goal or whatever, or make that interception that won the game. And then they'd say, you know, I just claimed that promise of God's for me, that no one can be against me. And that's not talking about your football game. Now, it would be if on that team there were people who were trying to hurt him or trying to ruin his testimony or make him miserable, he could claim that promise. But as far as the game, there are Christians on, I think I'm pretty safe in saying there's Christians on both sides.
Yeah.
So if they claim that promise, it's like when people say, oh, please don't let it rain. And we have onliners that do that. And I say, you know, I can't really pray that prayer because, you know, I know there are farmers who need the rain.
Yeah.
Especially right now. If someone said, please pray it doesn't rain this week, I'm not going to join you in that prayer. I'm going to pray, Lord, give us what we need.
Amen.
You know, that's my prayer. That will be done. Yeah, John?
There were these two boxers in the ring. And the wood boxer looked over and watched the other guy do the sign of the cross.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd never seen that before. So he looked over to his manager and says, what does that mean? And his manager said, doesn't mean a thing if you can't box.
Yeah, that's amen. That's right. You know what's funny about that? One time I was playing as minor leagues, you know, I think it's about 8 or 9 years old, something like that. And I was out there and I started to play and going up to bat, and I've been watching the Reds, and I see Tony Perez and Dave Concepcion, and they'd always do that.
Yeah.
And so I got up to bat, and I was like, you know. And my coach knew my family and knew we weren't Catholic. And I go back to the bench after, he says, what were you doing out there? And I said, what? He says, crossing yourself like that. And I said, I don't know, it seems to work for the pros. He said, he explained it to me.
Yeah.
I had no idea, because in school, I never even saw the Catholic kids doing that.
Yeah.
Maybe they did it when no one's looking because they're embarrassed. I don't know. But it's not just Catholics, by the way. Some of the Protestant groups do it, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it doesn't mean a thing. In that case, it doesn't mean a thing. But this verse, who can be, if God be for us, who can be against us, doesn't mean a thing if you can't play football.
Yeah.
You got to be able to play the game, but on the spiritual elements of that game, and it goes as it says, he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. See, it's talking about your salvation.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been talking about the whole time. The context is about salvation. And it says, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You realize that verse is quoted all the time by the blab it and grab it crowd. The charismatics, you name it and claim it and all that. That's a verse. How shall he not with them also freely give us all things? Therefore, I claim that Cadillac. I claim that house. I claim that yacht. I claim that, you know, and that's how they preach it and that's how they live it. There are people when they pray and they'll quote that verse.
Yeah.
And they're taking it out of.
All means all there now.
Yeah. And it does mean all in the context. That's the problem. It's the context.
The kingdom people,
yeah.
I want it all.
And, you know, I quoted Benny Hinn when he said on TBS, you know, we talk about the gold on the streets of heaven. I don't need gold in heaven. I need it now. I want it now. You know, and he's got it now. And I think that may be the only streets of gold he ever sees. They are doing that. They are doing that.
And you're not doing a good job.
No, and you remember I showed you the one guy who was claiming he was healing COVID and he ended up dying of it.
What was it? Did we see? Are you the one who showed us the video of the guy who tried to rebuke it on TV?
Yeah. And he died of it.
Later. It is him?
Yeah.
He died? Wow.
If they rebuke him back.
Huh?
I said if they rebuke him back.
Yeah. Well, it was like the ones, you remember the guys who was out there trying to cast out demons and the demon turned on them and tore them up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you don't know Jesus, you don't have his protection.
Yeah. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But
that's right.
But who are you?
But who are you? We always have to remember, context matters.
Yes.
And it's always according to his will.
Amen.
And I was looking at... just some of the things in the context, what it means is God, we were talking about having hope. If you don't have hope today, it's your fault, not God's. If there are people without hope, it's their fault.
Yeah.
You're not doing it right. Because if you're saved and in the Word and filled with the Spirit, you will have hope. And that's what he's saying. All things, his Spirit itself is talking about how you will have his Spirit in your life. If you don't have his Spirit functioning in your life, if you're a Christian, you have his Spirit. But you may not have him functioning in your life. Why? Because if you're self-centered, God doesn't honor that. If you're not in the Word, God doesn't honor that. If you're not praying, God doesn't honor that. God is a good Father, and he will honor you and lift you up when you live according to his Word.
Amen.
Says he'll make intercession for us in our prayers. And some people say, you know, it's like my prayers aren't answered. Well, you need to take a look and make sure if there's not something wrong there in your life, something wrong with your prayers. Like I said, if you're out there saying, God will give me all things and I want this and I want that, that's not the right way to pray. So don't expect that to get answered unless the devil answers it.
He could have said no, though.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah.
And he will. And he's saying no to a lot of people who are taking this out of context.
Amen.
Says he will give you your calling, and there are people who float through their Christian life with no purpose.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's because they won't listen to. We all have certain things that we're called to do, and among those is loving one another, praying for one another, lifting one another up, and preaching the gospel to the lost. Right there, you've got a full-time ministry right there.
Amen.
I mean, if you just focus on. He will justify us and has, and he says we have glorification. So at the worst, whether you live another day or live 50 years, at the worst, and say you just never have, nothing ever goes right for you, it seems like, and you don't have friends. Because everybody's so godless, you can't find people to hang out with that aren't a drag on your spiritual walk, and you're living for the Lord, but you just can't find friends. You can't find we know a lot of people who have struggled in singlehood, trying to, you know, watch for someone to come along that would be, you know, marriageable material and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
People don't, their job, they never get the job they want. They're always stuck in a job they hate. People, bad marriages, and I'm talking among professing Christians, they do find somebody, and then it ends up being a disaster, and they're miserable in that home.
Yeah.
On and on it goes. But at the very worst, You have to deal with that in this little life, short little life you live now.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have all of eternity.
Amen.
And you're going to be glorified and be as Jesus is for eternity. That's a long, 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 it's so long, it's timeless. There's no time. I can say it's a long, long time, but it's longer than that. Because there's no time anymore.
Amen.
Yeah, John got that. And look at, Jill mentioned really this, but go to James chapter 4. We're going to see that God will not give you all things if you don't keep that in context of the passage. If you're just going to say all as in all, everything, anything, and not the context, then look over at James chapter 4. Beginning right there in verse 1. And what have you, Jenny Miller, do you feel like reading? Mm-hmm. Verses 1 through 3.
From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts.
So there's people out there claiming this verse, oh, yeah, all things. And God right here tells you, if you take it out of context, then that changes everything. And he's not going to give you all things off the cuff, all things according to your desires, when your desires are not his desires. Jeremiah says he'll give you the desires of your heart, but that's in the context of you having his desires. And if your desires are not according to his desires, then you aren't going to get all the desires of your heart. Look at there, read verse 4, Jenny Allball. Oh, I caught you with your mouth full. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and, okay, so James 4.
4:4.
Okay. Hold on. I happened to flip away. All right. Oh, my TV is. Sorry. Okay. The adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God.
That's where it's no accident that verse follows what we just read.
Yeah.
It's people who are asking. There are a lot of people out there who pray all the time, and they're godless. And I've told the story where I worked for a company for a day. I went in, and it's one of those cold call sales type things. This is back in the, I think it was 88, 1989, somewhere in there. Not 89, something like that. I lose track of years. But this guy who owned it was a little, about 5'2", guy, real nice, you know, heavy and boisterous and all that stuff. He's real nice. And so I was kind of looking forward to it. I thought, well, they must be making money at this, so I'll give it a whirl. Walk in there that first day, and he says, all right, everybody, they had a clock, big clock, and it was counting down to when they'd start calling in certain areas of the world. And, they wouldn't call California at 9 a.m. in Miami.
They're about
to sleep. Yeah, and I was in Miami at the time. And so we're getting ready to call the Eastern Standard Time. And all right, come in here. And I didn't know they did this. And they all started standing in a circle. So I took my place in the circle. And then he says, okay. And he puts his hand. Everybody took hands and bowed their heads. I'm thinking, well, this is great. I had no idea. This is like a Christian company or something, you know. So I bowed my head. And he belted out this prayer claiming every verse out of context you can imagine. And didn't pray in Jesus' name. And just, you know, amen. So it's like a pray to mammon. You know, Jesus said you shouldn't serve mammon. I felt like that's who we prayed to. Because it was all about money and getting things. And then, just to the architect in the sky or whatever. And or the banker in the sky, maybe. I don't remember. And I'm telling you, it wasn't 10 seconds after that guy said amen. He was on the phone cussing somebody, using God's name in vain, the F word, you name it. And I'm telling you. I was there a whole 5 minutes, and I am completely shell-shocked by what I've just experienced.
Yeah.
I had never seen anything like that in the way of religion, and I'd rarely been around somebody who was professional, you know, in a professional setting, cuss like this guy, and turn from, you know, being Andy Griffith to being, you know, what's that guy that on TV is really mean? Anyway, fill in the blank with somebody you think of it isn't the devil himself. Just nasty. And I was just shell-shocked by it. And that was my introduction. I had never really noticed until then how people would take verses of the Bible and completely use them any way they saw fit. And, of course, since then I've seen it. And this guy, these people were so worldly. And it was all about the flesh and all about making money so they could have things. And it was their purpose in life.
James 4:4 people,
that's right. Claiming to be Christians. Johnny, pick up there in verses 5 and 6. Read there.
5 and 6?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
In other words, God will not put up with that in a Christian's life. He wants you to love him and not the world.
Yeah.
And you say, well, that's kind of self-centered and arrogant on God's part. People will say that. I'm like, that's ridiculous. My wife does not want me loving another woman.
Amen.
I don't want my wife loving another woman. Or another man. Amen. These days, that fits. You know what I mean?
This world stinks.
And, you know, if you have a friend, you shouldn't want them not to have other friends. But if that friend just totally cuts you off and is always with the other people or other person that they've come, that hurts. You know, and that's because we do still have the image of God impressed upon us. And there's things about us that we can actually see where that imprint is still there, even though we're in a fallen state. God is a jealous God. Jealousy is not a sin. And I've heard people preach that. The Bible does not teach that jealousy is a sin. The Bible doesn't teach that anger is a sin. The sin is in how you deal with it and what motivates it. I got that backwards, really. It's what motivates it and how do you deal with it.
Yep.
And if you're just the jealous type, you've heard that, where Jenny can't talk to any of the men around here, I'm immediately, you know, I'm angry at them and they're in her. And what are they doing talking? They've been talking more than 30 seconds. There's no excuse for that. You know. And there's guys like that.
Yeah.
And there's people who get angry and they can't just, you know, think about it and settle down. They just fly off the handle, you know, and that kind of thing. That's where the sin comes in. But God himself is jealous. So jealousy can't be a sin. God himself is angry with the wicked every day.
Right.
Jenny and I joke about the fact that we're two angry old white people.
Yeah,
that's CNN and MSNBC talk about us all the time.
Yeah.
Those angry old white people, angry old white voters, whatever. I am angry. I am angry. I'm not going to deny it. I don't walk around with a scowl angry all day. But when I see that kind of nonsense that's going on today, I am angry. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to do something about it. Number one, I'm going to vote.
Amen.
And among other things. And so that's how, you know, we look at our relationships and our life. And it's normal and good to have jealousy and anger in certain circumstances. But don't sin in the motive or the response.
Yeah.
And God looks at us and sees us praying for things in lust, wanting things we can just, you know, consume in our own lives and for our own kicks, and it doesn't have anything to do with trying to serve him and give glory. He's not going to put up with it.
Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul is jealous. He said, "If I am jealous,
yeah,
you would God be jealous."
Yeah, just sort of. There's been a lot of sloppy preaching and teaching that's caused a lot of confusion on those things. But go back to Romans 8 now. Having laid that down. And pick up in verse 33 then, he says, Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. That is talking about your salvation. It's not talking about your practical daily life.
Amen.
If you are in sin, and I walk up to you and say, you know, you're openly committing this sin, and it's wrong. And I love you enough to confront you and urge you to repent and confess that to the Lord and get things right. Don't quote that verse to me. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who do you think you are, God? I've had that happen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't think I'm God, and I didn't say a thing about your salvation. We're not talking about your salvation. We're talking about your practical daily life, and that you are a member of the body of Christ, and that I, as your brother, love you enough to confront you. That's what we're talking about. But that's how it's abused. And as you can see, if you don't keep the context, and if someone confronts you about something, and it really is a sin, don't start complaining and crying, well, I'm being persecuted. That's not persecution. That person's doing what they're supposed to do. But then again, if they're confronting you about something that's not a sin and just a personal hang-up, Doug and I talked about a word that I love, I wish would be used more freely, but I don't say you should use it in church conversation or anything. There's things we don't talk about here that isn't wrong or sin. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I can give you examples if you need them. There are plenty of things we don't talk about. Doesn't mean it's a sin. And there's a word that Martin Luther's favorite word, as a matter of fact, and it starts in English, it starts in German, it starts with the same letter, S. And it rhymes with hit. And it's another word for poop and crap. Okay, now here's how, I'm just being honest with you, here's how dumb fundamentalists are. It's okay to say poop or crap, but if I said the other word, they'd take the message down off of the video, and people would be offended. And Doug and I were talking about that. There are times I've used that word. I used it quite a few times during the Obama administration. Because it's the right word. And when you read the word dung in your Bible, that's the same word. It's the same word.
Yeah, the Lord talked about dung piles.
Yeah. So I bring that up because I had a friend who, I wasn't even a Christian at the time, but I had a friend who was. And it's funny because even though I wasn't a Christian, I was an encouragement to him in his Christian faith. Because we were at a friend's house, another friend's house, whose dad was a leader in one of the local churches. He was in leadership. And we were walking up to the garage to ask if his son was home, and we heard him, I guess he smashed his finger or something. And he said that S word really loud. And my friend, I saw him kind of stunned. I just walked on in. I asked if his son was there, and he's like, oh, no, he's blah, 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 you know. So we were, all right, time we came by, and we got in the car to drive away. And this guy acted crazy. I mean, just sat there. Like, I said, what is wrong with you? He said, and I know he probably hesitated to talk about it because he knew I didn't profess to be a Christian. And he said, well, he just cussed. And I said, what'd he say? I'd heard him say what he said, but I thought there was something else I missed because of the way this guy was acting. He said, well, he said, you know, and he said the word. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, you know, first of all, that's not cussing. That's an abuse of the word cuss. It's an abuse of the word profane. And the other thing is, it's just like we were just looking at, he acted like he thought he wasn't even saved. I said, listen, this guy is a leader in the church. And he said a word you don't like. I said, but let's go home and get your Bible and show me. Because I'd looked it up because I was, even though I wasn't a Christian, it really bothered me. There were so many rules that Baptists put on me that aren't in the Bible.
Amen.
And they always talk bad about the Catholics for doing that, but the Baptists are just as bad.
Yeah.
And now I do believe the Baptists are at a lower level of idolatry. You know, the Catholics add stuff that's idolatrous, plain out.
Yeah.
But what the Baptists do is add all kinds of rules and things.
Yeah.
So we went home and you know, went to his house, and he kind of flipped through his Bible and said, oh, I'll ask my mom, I'll look for it. And long story short is after a few weeks, he settled down. And he said his mom explained to him that it wasn't really profanity because it's excrement, you know. But you can't profane excrement. It's, you know, it is what it is. But it's just a rude word you shouldn't say because people can be offended by it.
Right.
Right. Now think about that. So it's a word that is to be avoided not because it's actually wrong, but because people are offended by it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so... I say that just because if someone come up and heard you say a word like that, there's a word in the Bible, piss, pisseth,
yeah. Yep.
In the Bible,
yeah.
And people are too holy to use that.
Yeah.
And they didn't just use it in technical terms either about, you know, urination. There was times where it was just used as a word and like we would use it. And but again, just clear, plain examples of where people will come up to you and confront you about things that aren't a sin. And in those cases, stick to your guns and say, you know, I won't say that word around you. Used to be, if I saw the old balls go into Kroger, I would think that they were backslidden because Kroger sold beer and wine.
Yeah, it does.
And the churches, well, they do now too. But back then, I mean, back in the 70s, 80s, that was a sin.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get... put in church discipline.
Yeah, yeah.
If they saw you going to a movie, they'd say, yeah, somebody out there might think you were going to a rated R movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You drinking an IBC root beer.
Oh.
People might think you're drinking a beer.
Yeah.
I mean, on and on it goes.
Yeah.
If we would just stick to the book, then we would stick to the important things.
Amen.
And we wouldn't have these questions, these problems and issues and everything.
The Kroger's in Westerville, before St. Anne's got built there, never sold alcohol,
mm-hmm,
because it was dry at that time.
The one in Wheelersburg didn't.
Yeah, but they were the number one Kroger store in the entire state of Ohio in sales.
Because there's so many Baptists who went there. I mean, it was.
Yeah.
That's why Kroger and Wheelersburg killed, because all the Baptists went there so they could go to a grocery store that wasn't any alcohol. And then once they start selling it, then what do you got?
Right.
So, picking up there in verse 34, I don't know if I'm going to get through 36. We're running up on it, but read verse 34 again with me. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So the short answer to that is that we have a twofold provision here, and this is talking again about your salvation.
Amen.
In the sense it says, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And now there's a bit of a transfer to practicality where he says, who also maketh intercession for us. Real quick, Jill, will you look up Romans 3, 24 and 25, a few pages back. And John, will you look up 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And we're going to read those real quick. The Romans 3, 24 and 25, we see that Christ has provided for our salvation as our substitute. So no one's going to be able to lay anything to your charge that's going to affect your salvation. Go ahead and read that if you will, Jill.
Which one?
24 and 25.
24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God.
Going to have to get you a larger print Bible.
Uh-huh.
That's what I graduated to.
Hey, I graduated to.
Or some light.
Yeah. So, your salvation is accomplished as, I always credit Doug with saying this because I'd never really thought about it, but we're saved by works, not our works,
his
the works of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what Jill just, So also then in our daily life, this intercession, John, read about that in 1 John 2, 1 and 2.
Okay. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
And that goes back to the verse we started with. God himself in the person of Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sins, was buried and rose again, accomplished your salvation. And as a Christian, if you do sin, you have an advocate who happens to be the same Savior who is God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. Therefore, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one can. They might try, but they can't succeed. And then it also then lends to verse 35. And read that with me. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? What's the answer?
Nothing.
No.
None of those. Who shall separate us? And then he also lists things. The answer is nothing, no one, no how. Amen? And so we'll end by reading verse 36 and pick up there next week. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And that may sound like a negative thing. John mentioned it, ending on the word slaughter. And it is. It is a positive thing. It's negative, but it's also positive. How's that? Well, it's true. And so that seems negative, but it is also true that we should have assurance that God is in control, because he told us ahead of time it's going to be that way.
Yeah.
It shouldn't shock us, surprise us, or depress us. In your prayer, I think it was, you mentioned there are people discouraged.
Yeah.
They're the problem, not God.
Yeah.
When I'm discouraged, there's one thing I have trained myself to always recognize is, if I'm discouraged, I'm the problem. It's because I am not living in the truth of God's word. David encouraged himself in the Lord. We can all do that anytime, any day when we're discouraged. If you're discouraged, it's you. Now, you might be feeling down and dragged down because of your health, as we're, Jenny not feeling great today. And she's felt this way off and on this last week. But if in that she can and does feel the joy of the Lord, then she's doing it right. Because all of us are going to have bad days and get sick.
Yeah.
And we're not always going to look all happy clappy. And sometimes we're going to look like somebody just beat us with a wet noodle.
Amen.
But what inside is what matters. And I have joy and peace. And that's what we're going to have to pick up next time, because we're out of time. So I'll close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this study. We thank you for this book that without it and left to our own thoughts and imaginations, we would be utterly just in despair.
Amen.
We would be utterly discouraged and disillusioned. And that's what happens to people who put this book down. And every time we've seen someone fall by the wayside, it includes and involves putting the book down, putting the Word of God out of our thoughts and out of our hearts and out of our minds. Help us, Lord, to keep your Word and to keep it in our thoughts and our minds and to live by it. To the praise and glory of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. All right. See you 11 o'clock live stream. Thank you. did the headphone check? I thought you already did that. Your tap. I hope so.
Sunday morning.
Does the picture look good? You have all that you
want. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Looks good.
How's it going?
Getting in here.
We're doing Marvelous Mark.
I'm going to check and make sure it's on. Real quick, I'm going to go to 202 in your handbook. You want to turn there?
Good. Hey. I'll try to take it.
That's the only one thing we missed about the YouTube live was people could say hi. We knew they were on. I'm assuming at some point my mom and my grandma and Martha and who else, all these people out there sign along with Frank, and it'd be neat if we had a guy out there named Stein. We could say Frank and Stein. Frank Einstein.
Well, Frank
is
already
saved.
Trying to bring
monsters
and people back to life.
All right. Let's sing 202 in times like these. This is a song Jeannie and I were singing together riding down the road the other day. Beautiful song.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus. The only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. In times like these, you need the Bible. In times like these, oh, be not sure.
course, when we sing these songs, she always sings the lead on in the car, even if it's a song I would normally sing lead, because I don't remember all the lyrics. But
hey.
She's like a jukebox.
A hymnal jukebox.
I give her. I don't give her a quarter.
That's,
I give her.
Only.
I don't give right. her a quarter. I give her a little piece of chocolate. And
bing.
All right, turn over a couple pages to turn your eyes upon Jesus.
204.
Oh, I want to say hi to. I'm figuring they're on. Dave and Janice also.
Amen.
And we have. We don't.
I have your paper.
We don't give all the prayer requests out publicly, but if it's not real sensitive, I won't mind saying. I don't think he'll mind saying we will keep Dave in prayer. He's having problems with his asthma. I have, as I've been feeling it too, but I've been hiding in the air conditioner, and Dave had to work out in 95 degree temperatures and everything. And so anybody with breathing issues right now, this heat, and it's really bad down in Cincinnati. They had those air quality alerts, they call them. So just keep your loved ones in prayer and check on them if they're elderly and have breathing issues. As we sing, turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled?
The
light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things
acapella.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
do want to remind the folks that are on the live stream to send your prayer requests in, and we will pray after the live stream ends. BBFOhio@protonmail.com. And for those here and live, tell your friends and family, loved ones, it's real easy to join us live. I think probably easier now than ever. All they have to do is go to BBFOhio.com, and they have that web page open. And when we go live, our page goes live. It's that simple. And I think then you can click a button and make it the full thing, or if you're on your phone, do the same. But we're on a learning curve, and we're going to keep doing anything we can to improve things. But we had pretty good reports. There was a little, they said there's a little glitching every once in a while, but it didn't cut off last time, Wednesday night. So we'll see how it goes. And, you know, it's a live stream and low budget. Well, if you're here, we have the prayer cards, and you fill those out and bring them up to me
at the end.
And then if you're, again, if you're live, you can, or you're watching online, bbfohio@protonmail.com is the website or the email address. By the way, you can send prayer requests that address anytime. And I check it two or three times a day. And if you send a prayer request, if it's on a Tuesday, it doesn't matter. We'll pray over that request. BBFOhio@protonmail.com.
It's like Ezra got a haircut.
Yes, everybody make sure they get to see Ezra's first haircut. And he handled it like a trooper. And
he's a man.
He was all business. All right, let's sing one more. Page 255. I don't know how many of you knew it or not, but Thursday, Brother Doug turned another year older. And just one more birthday closer to being with the Lord. Amen. And so after the service, we're going to have some sandwiches. We got mashed potatoes. We got other chips and things. And we've got a Hershey. Listen. Hershey triple chocolate cake. Now, and then some of you are a little vanilla, so we got some cupcakes too. That, you know, so if you don't like chocolate, there's something wrong. We expect that those who don't like chocolate will come forward, but get things right. 255. Let's sing "Blessed Assurance." Fanny Crosby's great song. Doug's favorite, he says.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, pledges of God. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Praising my Savior.
We love Brother Doug. Amen. All right. Well, the musicians take their place in the pew, and you can open your Bible and get ready. We're going to be in Luke chapter 7. Now would be a good time to get your prayer card if you want one. Fill it out and bring it up at the end of the study. Always lots to pray about. Amen.
Amen.
Do you have some, Mom? Do you have a card? I'll grab one.
Luke chapter 7.
I am your father.
All right. I think we got everything going good here. Camera's on ready. Okay, we already did sound check.
Fascinating.
Speaking of Doug. That's a reminder to silence your cell phones. Don't be too distracted by the monkey. There you go.
Beautiful.
You cannot say you were not warned by a cute little monkey. Now, last week we had an announcement about our Bible mission. We went from 8:55 to 8:95, and I think we got it right there. And so we are going to, several of you and several people online heard the call.
Amen.
And wanted to help us get over the 900 number. And we have already some more come in today. But as of this morning, we go from 895 to, drum roll please, 975. That is the single highest jump in a single of any month, let alone a week. So now we're heading for 1,000. We were wanting to jump over that, hit that 900 mark by the end of July. We might hit 1,000 by the end of July, because I already know we're actually higher than that, been told. So I'll have another update Wednesday and Sunday on this. We'll keep this number till Wednesday, and then we'll have another update next week. So if you want to give, I tell folks $5 a Bible, but it also, if we give $20, it's the equivalent of about 8 Bibles, I think is how they said it. So it's like, you know, the bigger your gift, the more it can be used. So I have to look that up again. I think it was... But it was $5 if would take care of one Bible, but if you give 20, they could actually make that cover 8 Bibles. So that's what we do. We give, once we get at least $50, so we can get, I think that gives us about 20 Bibles. So that's a great praise report. Thank you very much. The Lord is pleased with our desire to get the word out. Amen.
Amen.
Our current events update. Now, you might have seen on the news that a representative named John Lewis had died. And it is my duty as your pastor to tell you he was not Mr. Wonderful. And that tells you what your news media is all about, but it also tells you what a lot of rhino Republicans are all about. And they're ripping President Trump, because as far as I know, he hasn't actually said anything publicly. He did, as decorum would require, lower the flags. They do that, and that's there's nothing wrong with that. But it's another thing to lie to people and talk about this guy like he's Mr. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. I am telling you for a fact that if this man believed what he said he believed, he split hell wide open Friday night. Yeah. This man did not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we're concerned with when it comes to whether or not the man is in heaven. And then we also know that that's what the man looked like. His policies that he pushed in his lifetime. He pushed for the killing of unborn children right up to the time of birth.
Wow.
He defended abortion on any circumstance. He pushed the sodomite agenda. And pushed for everything you see going on with the homos. He was behind it. He wanted to take your guns so that you couldn't protect yourself. He was a gun control advocate. He supported the BDS movement, which is anti-Israel. He used Jews early on in his campaign, his career, to make something of himself. But then... Yeah, BDS is a movement to boycott Israel. And he used, like I said, he used Jews and feigned support for Israel for a number of years in his early career, but then he turned on them. And for about the last 20 years, it's been an enemy of Israel.
Wow.
He supported illegal immigration. We support immigration. The government has a right to bring in people to replace all the babies being butchered. But the government should set standards so that when they come to this country, they don't immediately get on welfare.
Amen.
And so we have a position on immigration that is biblical and constitutional.
Amen.
And the Constitution is in support of immigration if it's controlled, as I just said. But he supported leaving illegals in this country. I call him a poverty pimp. He did everything he could to keep his constituents on the dole so they would vote for him. He used his power in government to keep people voting for him with all the welfare and all that that he gave up. Again, we support welfare for people who need it. But people who can work but won't work, the Bible says they do not eat. No food stamps. And that's a biblical, not a political position. So he was basically a socialist liberal. He was an enemy of the Constitution and an enemy of the Christian faith, the real Christian faith. These guys all have their own churches. But you go in there, they don't preach the Bible, they don't preach the gospel. They preach their socialist liberal agenda. Now, that's the wrong reference. It's Proverbs, what was the text? Jenny, we talked about it yesterday. The text says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. You get that?
Amen.
The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot.
Proverbs 10:7.
So moving on, I now want to do my pastoral duty and warn you of what I believe is probably going to happen. And that's the corona recession. Behind the scenes, large banks are prepping for bad times ahead. Banks are putting aside tens of billions of dollars to cover the losses that they think they're going to face when people can't pay their bills, can't pay for their loans, can't pay for their house mortgages. And people who own your rental properties, if you can't pay them, they can't pay the bank. And so as people are evicted because they don't pay their bills, that leaves all these empty places you're seeing around here, the storefronts that are empty, all the for lease signs. That means the owner can't pay his bill. This was one of the headlines in U.S. News. Big U.S. banks predict more economic pain from coronavirus. The story, which this was just a couple of days ago, three of the largest U.S. banks said on Tuesday they had set aside a whopping $28 billion for loan losses, in a stark reminder that much of the economic pain from the coronavirus pandemic is still to come. Now, remember that when your stupid governor and these people continue to shut everything down. It looks to me like design. It looks like our leaders are given over to the Antichrist, and they're crashing our system so that America will have to go along with the new world order.
Amen.
Borrowers have been propped up by trillions of dollars in government and bank assistance, cheap credit and loan forbearance programs. But some of that support is going away, and banks said they fear losses will spike. Now, I don't have time to go into our fake money system. But I'm just telling you, it's illegal for you to do this, but if you just set your printer up and start printing money, that's counterfeit. The reality is, all money is counterfeit.
Amen.
Our Federal Reserve System, that's all they do. They just print paper.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to back that up. It used to be the paper money represented what was in the bank in gold and silver.
Right.
No, hadn't been that way since Nixon. And it's just fiat money. That's the word for it. There's a Christian man named William Still. And he put out a documentary called Money Masters. And he also put out one on the something about Oz, because it's believed that the Wizard of Oz was a play or a book written to represent this whole thing about our money system. But you go out and watch those documentaries, you'll start to understand more about what's going on.
Yeah, amen.
And it's all setting the stage for the Antichrist. It's an economic crash. It's only a matter of when. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, you know, amen. You know there's a coin shortage now?
Yeah.
Haven't even seen that.
Yeah.
Coin shortage.
Yeah.
And they're... I was telling Jenny the reasons they were giving why they said that was going on, but it's just crazy. There's no way. Yeah, Mark?
Yeah, I took over $500 in rolled change to the bank, and they were so glad to see it. They were ready to kill me for it.
It was probably sent somewhere and locked away.
Yeah.
Shortage. Yes, Sean?
Well, with the coin shortage, what's your thought on gold or silver?
Well, I always tell everybody, gold is gold. I personally don't recommend getting paper. So if you invest in gold coins or silver coins, that's fine. You can put it in there.
A thousand.
All right. So a coin, gold coin is a gold coin. But if you put the money in and they send you a piece of paper, I would be very wary of that.
No, I'm talking about having the
metal. No, I just want everybody else to understand that. I know you do. And so it would be wise, to have that. And that's why I say guns and ammo. You may never have to shoot at anybody, and we pray we don't ever have to. But I want to tell you, they'll barter. If things crash, it'd be amazing what you'll get for your gun if you have extras and ammo. That's just one of the reasons to have that. Now, there, of course, in non-perishable food, get something like a Berkey water system. If Jenny and I, if our the electric grid goes out, we can't, our well pump won't work. And if the electric grid goes out, you're probably not going to have much gasoline to run generator for very long. So what do? You have to have things like the Berkey system. You pour water in, it comes out purified.
Yeah.
So what we would do is take our little empty water jugs down to, we could go anywhere, dirtiest water around here, and you put it in that Berkey thing, and it'll filter it, and it'll be drinkable. And so that's what you want to make sure you have, that kind of water. And if you have the ability, we haven't done it, I admit, we should have already. You can get a big barrel and have water to use for cooking, and other things, washing. If your electric grid goes out, you're going to have to worry, but you're going to have to start doing sponge baths. And things are going to change, folks, if this happens. If this keeps going on the way it's going, things are going to really get strange and rough. My kids, I've told them over the years, I'm not really joking when I tell them, we've got plenty of room in the back for tents. If it came down to it, and they got this thing, this guy came up with this thing where you pull your car up, pop the, especially if it's a hatchback, you can pop the back end, and the tent then connects to your car. So your car and your tent become one big place, you know. And it's not exactly high living, but I look into this stuff, man. I already know how much it would cost us, and how, and within a week and a half, we would could have church in a tent,
yeah,
if need be. We made all these plans. I hope I never have to implement them, but I'm ready. That's all I'm telling you to do. Get ready. We've been warned of this fact, by the fact of the coming mark of the beast. If you believe we're in the last days, then you know it's getting ready to bust out.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he causeth all, it says, including Americans who don't think they should ever suffer persecution, or it's the great tribulation. And he says he causeth all. Well, after the rapture, I believe the rapture is going to happen at any moment. And that'll help to catapult the world into this Antichrist world order. But I believe everything else is going to be set up and ready. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, everybody, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And as your pastor, as your Christian brother, I just want you to see these things going on and understand where you're at.
Amen.
And make plans. Plan, you know, I like this song. It says, pray like it's all up to him, and then work like it's all up to you.
Yeah.
That's how I see the Apostle Paul doing it. You know, Paul believed in prayer, and he prayed like it was all up to God, but look how hard he spent himself for the Lord. We've also been warned over the years by Christian authors. I don't know how many of you remember this, Larry Burkett. Back in the 90s, I read this book. The only thing Larry Burkett, number one, he always said, I'm not a prophet. But he was just saying, this is how it's going to go down. The only thing Larry Burkett got wrong was the timing. I say that about these guys who predict the rapture. They're not wrong about the rapture. They just got the timing wrong.
Amen.
And God says, by the way, you're not going to know the timing. So quit trying. And that's my policy on this whole economic thing. All I can tell you is it don't look good, and it could happen. Is there going to be an economic earthquake? Only God knows that. I thought that it happened in the 90s. How many of you thought Clinton was the end, man? And I think he potentially could have been, but I think that God had mercy. Long-suffering. And the final thing about the corona thing is also this thing of dead with corona.
Yeah.
If you guys are ignoring me and getting your news from the Democrat news media, then shame on you for being stupid.
Amen.
But if you're doing that, you're being scared to death by how many people are dying. The deaths are going through the... And it's hogwash.
Yeah.
You may recall this video clip I played for you.
Other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
You could die of a heart attack, but if you have COVID, they count you as a COVID death. They're not dying of COVID. They're dying with COVID. And that's not science. That's propaganda.
I do want to some good news on this front is that, you know, I've been listening to Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and both, and you know, sure, we know they're not total Christians or anything, but I believe they have been telling the truth about this.
There are a lot of guys that surprise me. Mark Levine is another one. Sean Hannity.
Yep.
He's been a little wishy-washy on some things, but he's, you know, a bunch of these guys, I don't listen to some of the, Tucker Carlson's been on it since the beginning, and he's about the only one I recommend on TV. But it's government deceivers and your Democrat news media who are continuing the farce Let me say, I want to make this clear. Coronavirus is real.
Yeah.
And I get criticized because I won't go check out and say it's fake. Because it's real. And we know of people who died, and they died from the effects of coronavirus. It's happening. But the point is that it's no worse than the annual flu right now.
Yeah.
And most of the deaths were caused by government policies. Cuomo sent people into nursing homes with COVID. That's why I say it should be called the euthanasia virus.
Yeah.
Because it's killing off people over 60 and people with underlying circumstances, underlying conditions. So when you see this, U.S. COVID-19 death toll, it's inflated. It's inflated. The CDC currently puts the number of confirmed deaths at about 100,000. But even the best estimate, 0.26% fatality rate, is a significant overestimate. So it's not even a quarter of a percent of the population, and that's an overestimate. Why? Because of how the CDC is counting deaths. 0.26. So it's not even, that's one quarter of 1%.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good percent, you got to move it over to.
Yeah. I just want to make sure. I know some of you were public schooled and, you know. No, seriously, though, I'm not good at percentages either, and that's why I have to look and think about it. You take $100 and I give you one, that's 1%.
Yeah.
If I have $100, and I give you a quarter.
That's how much it is.
That's how much this is. I mean, that tells you how little of the population of America is dying from this.
And that's of the people that are sick, right? That's not even the population.
This was the death rate. This is the death rate.
Well, that means
but the point is, it's overestimated. You realize how small? It's overestimated because of how they're counting it. This doctor, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, is director of Illinois Department of Public Health, and he explains, quote, it means at the time of death, it was a COVID positive diagnosis. That's all it means. It means that, you know, you could have died, you could have had an aneurysm and bled out. But if you tested positive with COVID, they counted you as a COVID death. That means that if you were in hospice and had already been given a few weeks to live, and then you also were found to have COVID, that would be counted as a COVID death. It's a scam. It means technically, even if you died of a clear alternative cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death.
Shark attack.
What? Shark attack? Well, in light of these facts, I just had to let you know a big breakthrough in theological circles. Bible experts have determined that Goliath actually died of COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, his head came off, but they found a trace of COVID, so.
Wow.
You just think, I mean, I hope you're getting it. The joke is that people are dying from decapitations and being, you know, oh, he died of COVID. Really? Why did his head come off? Just get used to that. I'm going to do that all the time because I'm awakened yet. Yeah, that's right. All right, let's get into our Bible study, open with a word of prayer. And ask the birthday boy back there, Brother Doug, if you don't Bible study.
Well, God, just thank you for this day and this time, that we're having a real good time and everything. But at the same time, we are hungry for the meat of the Word of God, and that's what we're here for. And we are celebrating the birthday and all that, but at the same time, we are having a real good time with church. We thank you, Lord, and we pray you, Lord, for people that's going through hard times, and
amen.
And anybody that is without and stuff. We pray for the military people and President Trump and the family. And, we thank you for this day, this time, in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Luke 7, we pick up in verse 24. The least in the kingdom of God. We're going to go through verse 28 in this study. And I'm going to have you read all those verses, all five of them. Beginning verse 24, if you're there, read with me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's a reminder that you have already gotten more Bible at this point than you would in most Christian churches today. That's an absolute fact. I get these emails every once in a while from somebody, and it's so sad. We're glad to be able to teach and put it out there for them to learn, but they're starving to death in their own home church.
Yep.
And so we're glad to be able to help folks out. In our text, we're still in nine. And that's
nine.
That's not no in German. That's a city just south of Nazareth. Nazareth was the boyhood home of Jesus, and that's why they called him Jesus of Nazareth. And on the map, it's at the bottom of the map there, if you can see that. And our context is that Jesus has demonstrated his messianic ministry. John's disciples, you remember, came and said, hey man, what's going on? And so he showed them what was going on. And he has interacted with the disciples of John the Baptist, and that's how we closed out the last study, where Jesus said, basically, you know, the prophets said when the Messiah came, this is what's going to happen, and that's what's happening. So go tell John that's what's happening. Amen?
Amen.
So we pick up in verse 24, and when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. So Jesus is taking what's going on with John's disciples, and he's not saying, you know, he didn't look at everybody and say, I don't know what's wrong with John the Baptist. And, just ignore what just happened. You know, it just, no, he just says, this is a teachable moment. So I'm going to say so. And so Jesus will now confirm John's ministry. And he goes on to say, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In other words, God's men are not timid, doubting, wavering scribes. And what Jesus points to isn't that John in prison is having his doubts. He's saying, you remember John's ministry. And you remember what he said and what he did. Isn't that what you went out to see? And John the Baptist preached God's word.
Amen.
And he offended people.
Yep.
Why? Because people don't want to hear the word of God.
Yep.
And John didn't care. He just kept preaching the word of God. It will end up getting his head cut off.
Amen. That's right.
But he preached knowing it was going to get him killed. And by the way, those of you who think Greg shouldn't be preaching politics, I don't preach politics. Amen. But politics is getting on my territory.
Amen.
And when it gets on my territory, I'm going to preach the word.
Amen.
And if it costs me my head, so be it. Just make it a clean cut.
Yeah.
Don't be chopping away for 5 minutes. That happened. If you read some history, you'll see that happen. Didn't that happen to Anne Boleyn? I think it was one of them. Anyway, I get criticized because I preach strong and I don't I'm not up here saying, well, you know, we think that possibly this is, but you know, you have to make your own judgments. And, you know, we're not going to take a strong stand on anything that's going to cause division because we want to just get along with everybody. And, you know, I want to be cool. I don't want to act like I'm cool so everybody thinks I'm cool. And, you know, I think we need to change the setup here and put some spotlights and some fog so that we can all just feel like we're in a rock concert instead of church. That way you feel more comfortable. And, you know, instead of pews, let's get to lounges and put some Lazy Boys out there so you can recline. You know, that's what's going on today. Everybody's got to be cool. And they're not worried about, sadly, what thus saith the Lord. Look over to Matthew chapter 7. Turn your Bible there a few pages over. Matthew chapter 7. This is what Jesus is going to be described here. And this is what a Bible-believing preacher is supposed to be described as. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. And I'm going to read 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now read 29 with me. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Preachers that stand up here and say, well, the original Greek and the original Hebrew and blah, 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 blah. They're scribes.
Amen.
I'm not going to stand up here and pretend, and they're pretenders. They don't know Greek or Hebrew. They got it all out of other books, and then they come up with their notes and pretend it. I'm not going to do that. I want to preach the Word of God.
Amen.
Simply teaching the Word of God simply.
Amen.
That's what we need. And that's how Jesus taught. Now, sometimes what he taught was hard to accept. But John, as a human being, he's a prophet, but he was still human. It's like we talk about Paul, and we tell people all the time, Paul was not infallible. Peter was not infallible.
Amen.
The writings you have from Paul in the Bible and the writings you have from Peter in the Bible are infallible. But the men weren't. They were human beings.
Right. Yeah.
And John was a human being.
Right.
Yeah. And he needed reassurance. But listen, John never wavered in service.
Amen.
God is not afraid of your questions, but he will not put up with you your faithlessness. He will not put up with you compromising. He doesn't mind questions. And if you pray and ask him and follow his word, which says that you go to the elders with your questions, you'll find answers.
Amen.
There's only two kinds of people who have left Bible Believers Fellowship, and it didn't have anything to do with moving or dying. People who still live in the area, who still should be here, who don't come here, is because they got sucked into stupidity because they refused to obey the Word of God and come to the elders and discuss those things with them. And number two, even when I did try to talk to them, they didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
That's true about every one of them.
Amen.
Well, there were a couple of exceptions that were other, but the exception proves the rule. So, again, look at verse 25. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? God's men don't play dress up, or at least they shouldn't.
Amen.
One of the most embarrassing things about fundamental Christianity is how that the pastors, most of them, dress like they're in the mob.
That's true.
And think that that gives them some air of authority.
Yeah.
And then they also force other people. There are churches where you cannot take part in service unless you dress like you're in the mob.
Yeah, right.
And this is so important to them that some of these churches, what they'll do is, this is a true story. Some of them have a set aside a fund so that if someone wants to be involved, they'll look at your income and things, and if you really are in need, they'll go out and buy you a mob suit. It's that important to them. However, I do know of a couple of situations where what they do is buy you the mob suit and give it to you on a loan, and you have to pay it back. And so if you want to serve the Lord, you have to get a loan of a mob suit and make payments. I'm not kidding you. Just think about that. And the Bible is so clear against it. The Bible says, what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? No. Why? Listen, most commentaries, most sermons preached by these guys, they'll come to this text. Well, a lot of them are expository teachers, so they can pick and choose what they teach. But the ones who actually go by every word of God and go verse by verse, they come to this. I've listened to them. I've read their commentaries. They skip it. It's like what women preachers must do when they come to the part that says that women shouldn't usurp authority over men. They skip that. Don't need to talk about that. So one of the most ridiculously funny mentalist hang-ups is their soft raiment dress code. Here's how funny it is. And I say this, I respect a lot of these. I'm not saying all I'm telling you is I go by the Bible. I don't care if you have a favorite preacher out there or, you know, your whoever says otherwise. This is my rule.
Amen.
Okay? And here's how funny it is. Churches used to not, I would not even be able to play on the church softball team because I have facial hair.
Yeah,
it's stupid.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Now my haircut's fine. Did you guys say?
What's the basis for that? Because Jesus had a beard.
What's the basis for that? They're stupid. That's the only basis. Now, what happened was along the lines, fundamentalist preachers decided since hippies had beards, then none of our people are going to have beards. Now, here's the stupid thing about it. Go pick up a history book.
Yeah.
The preachers who built those churches had long hair and beards.
Yeah.
Think of that.
Amen. Yeah.
In the Bible, most of these fellas had beards, and they didn't have shirts with collars, but I guarantee you the hair probably came down over the collar.
Jesus had a beard.
They plucked, you know, when they pluck a beard, there's a beard. So my point is, if your church wants to have those rules, what they ought to tell people is, this isn't based on the Bible. We've got these rules, and if you want to be a part of this ministry, you have to go along with it. But don't lie to it or act like it's Bible, because it's not.
Amen. Yeah.
They didn't have hair like women, though.
Didn't say that, though, did I?
No.
I didn't say that.
See, I'm just questioning, though.
Well, that no. If you, yeah. Well, then you have hair like a man. See what I'm saying? I get that argument from people who don't look in the mirror. You know, I'm not going to name names. We have somebody who stopped coming here because we had somebody who would wear a wig, and he had some issues. So I tried to be very gentle with him and everything. And because I wouldn't rip his wig off and tell him not to wear it anymore, this particular lady stopped coming. She had hair that was barely longer than mine. It didn't make any sense. But that's what happens when you start setting up these extra biblical rules. You end up being a hypocrite because you cross them yourself.
Amen.
That's what happens. And I'll give you an example of a dead preacher, Jack Hobbs. He had this rule where you had to shave your face and all this. He had a sermon. The whole sermon he kept telling his men, grow a beard. Why? He was saying, be a man. He was telling men to stop being effeminate. And he kept saying it over and over. Won't you just grow a beard? Be a man. Grow a beard. And I'm listening to that thinking, it's against your rules. It doesn't make any sense. That's what happens when you set up unbiblical rules, you end up becoming a hypocrite. It just happens, folks. So continue in verse 25, he says, behold, listen to what he says. He's not talking about preachers here. He says, behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. That's not how preachers are supposed to look. Now, again, I got to step back here. I don't have a problem with a preacher having clean shaven, short hair, and a suit. What I have a problem with is when you act like God made that rule.
Exactly. Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to make up a rule. Preachers should have beards, short hair, and wear Hawaiian shirts at least once a month.
Amen.
That's my rule.
Yep.
If you don't follow that, you're not spiritual.
Amen.
That's how they teach it. It's baseless.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that, including when Greg Miller says something, you go to this book, and if it doesn't teach that, then you understand that you're not being taught God's Word. What a thing. We complain about preachers, and yet that's what a lot of the congregations want. They want a politician. They'll complain about it when they vote him in, but they want a politician who dress slick, talk slick, and be slick. But then they complain about it. Isn't that amazing? And most politicians, as I said, dress like they're in the mob. So if your preacher's dressing like a politician, he's dressing like somebody in the mob. So verse 26, he says then, "But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet." So John's prophetic ministry was historic. He was more than just one of the prophets. What's that mean? Verse 27, this is he, Jesus is telling you, this is he of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." Jesus is telling you that John the Baptist fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. Look back at Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 3 through 5. This is what Jesus just referred to. Beginning of verse 3, if you're there, read verses 3 through 5. Read it with me. "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Again, look at what he's saying there. And verse 3 is separated from verse 4 and 5 by 2,000 years. That verses 4 and 5, that's going to be literally fulfilled at his second coming. And John has come fulfilling verse 3, and so many of these prophecies have both the first and second advent right there, but they're separated by a period or a colon, and that represents 2,000 years. A few pages over, Malachi. Look at Malachi 3. Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi 3, verse 1. All right, if you're there, read that. "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And then it goes on to talk, "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand?" That's the first and second coming. And he's saying that John is that messenger that shall prepare the way before me. You remember, if you've read the book of John, the Gospel of John, you've read where John the Baptist was out there declaring that it was time for the Messiah. And then when Jesus showed up, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world."
Amen.
And he pointed to Jesus. And that was him fulfilling those prophecies given 6 to 10 centuries before Jesus was born. And so then you come ahead to Matthew chapter 3. And we're told, just as Jesus referred to it in Luke 7, in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and I'll read verses 1 and 2 while you turn there. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Now read verse 3. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Isn't that something? That's amazing. And there it is, laid out for you. So back in Matthew 7, we continue with verse 28. "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." And there goes Muhammad out the window. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, true.
A billion people run around saying that Allah is God. Wrong. Yep. And Muhammad is his prophet. Well, he may be Allah's prophet because Allah is the devil. But Muhammad isn't God's prophet. Muhammad's a false prophet. He's a liar. Muhammad is in hell right now. Muhammad denied Jesus Christ. You say, they talk about Jesus in the Quran. Yes, and they bear false witness. They lie and say he wasn't crucified. They lie and say he wasn't resurrected. It's a lie. The Quran is a lie. Dr. Ruckman said, "If Muhammad were Allah's prophet, and God knows he never prophesied anything a day in his life, then he was a second-rate prophet to John the Baptist, according to Jesus Christ."
Yep.
Amen. So then Luke ends verse 28 and says, "But he," this is quoting Jesus, "but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he," meaning that any of you, in Jesus' words, any of you are greater than John the Baptist.
Wow.
Think of that. Wow. He just said John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets born of women. And then says that you, even if you're the least in the kingdom, are greater than he.
Wow.
You ever thought about it? Why would he say that? Well, as Monk would say, here's the thing.
Yes.
You have to compare Scripture with Scripture to find out why he would say that. John was an Old Testament Jewish prophet. I've repeated that, and I'm going to repeat it over and over. John was an Old Testament Jewish prophet. He was not in the kingdom of God. He was looking for the kingdom of heaven. Now, because people don't teach and rightly divide, they say they're the same thing, and that's why they're as confused as hell.
Amen. That's right.
You better make differences where the Bible makes differences.
Amen.
And we've got a message, and we may teach it again sometime as a reminder. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are not the same thing.
Amen. Amen.
His was not the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. You are a part of a spiritual kingdom that will join with the kingdom of heaven during the millennium. They will both be on earth, but that doesn't make them the same.
Amen.
And they are different. Look over, we're going to see this again in a few weeks, but Luke 16, 16. Turn over there. Luke 16, 16. I know, Ezra, we're going to get cake in just a few minutes. Luke 16, 16. If you dare read that with me. "The law and the prophets were until John." Stop right there. That wasn't Gregology. Amen?
Amen.
John is an Old Testament Jewish prophet. The law and the prophets were until John. John was the last.
Amen.
And he's under the Old Testament. Now read the rest. "Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached." Say it again. "Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." You see, when Jesus came, he came offering what we call the kingdom of heaven. But by Luke 16, 16, he's being rejected. And so he begins to then turn and offer to the Gentiles. He begins to minister to Gentiles. He begins to go into Galilee. He begins to tell people that this gospel is going to go around the world. And he begins to teach. We don't have time to run all the references, but when Jesus is resurrected, he spends 40 days with 500 eyewitnesses plus teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
He switches. It's a transition. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the nation of Israel rejecting the Messiah, and so their Messiah becomes a light unto the Gentiles. The book of Acts is, after he has established his death, burial, and resurrection, transitioning from the law of Moses to the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
If you just get what I just said, you understand the Bible better than 9 out of 10 seminary professors today.
Yeah,
amen.
Sadly, yeah.
And if you didn't understand what I just said, get the tape. You need to understand it. John presented the literal physical kingdom of Messiah. And this is the kingdom of heaven on earth. You see, it's all about the kingdom in the Old Testament being on earth. The kingdom on earth. The Messiah ruling on earth from a throne in Jerusalem over the kings of the earth. That's why he's called King of Kings. And that day's coming.
Amen.
Look over at Daniel chapter 2. We're going to wrap it up. I know it looks like I'm going off on another one, but I'm not. Daniel chapter 2. We studied this months ago. Verses 44 and 45. And I'm going to read this. I just want you to follow along. And in the days of these kings, and these are the kings of the previous image that Nebuchadnezzar had seen. We don't have time to go through all that. But it ends with Rome being destroyed and scattered, but then revived in the feet of iron and clay.
Yep.
And I believe that is papal Rome.
Yep.
And it's going to play out in the tribulation period as papal Rome. And the final pope will be the Antichrist.
Yep.
And so forth. We don't have time for all that, but we went through it. You go find our, in Sermon Audio, go look at our Revelation studies, and we did 20 hours in Revelation 17, 18 alone. Pointing all this out. Leaving
Amen.
No stone unturned.
Amen.
Which shall never be... He says... Let me start again. In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. See, this is a literal kingdom on earth. Which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever.
Amen.
That's in Revelation 19. Read about it in Revelation 19. Verse 45, forasmuch as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, that's referring to the previous vision, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king, talking about Nebuchadnezzar, what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. You will see that type of vision over and over in the Old Testament saying, God's going to set up a kingdom with a king who we call Messiah, and he will be king of kings. He will rule Israel from Jerusalem and rule over all other kingdoms from Israel.
Amen.
And he came just as he was prophesied in the Bible, and Israel rejected him. And that's what we're seeing here. We are in that time where Israel is rejecting their king. And John did not have all that we have in this dispensation, and that's why it's not you're greater in, you know, that kind of, oh, I'm great, yeah. It's not like that. It means you're in a greater position with greater blessings.
Amen.
You have a new birth. John didn't have that. You were baptized into the body of Christ. John was never baptized into the body of Christ. You are sealed under the day of redemption. That's not an Old Testament thing. And we could go on and on with all the things that you have as a Christian in this dispensation that did not belong to John or anyone in that former dispensation. And People who teach otherwise are simply nuts. And most Protestant denominations, most of them, and most evangelical denominations are nuts. Amen. They're just crazy. Amen. It's right there in front of their face, and they refuse to teach it because they're stuck in tradition rather than in plain teaching of the Bible. One last place. 1 Peter chapter 1, New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 through 12. And Peter is talking about John the Baptist and all the Old Testament prophets. Keep that in mind. And he says in verse 10, which in time past... Wait a minute, am I right? I'm in the wrong one.
Of which salvation the prophets...
Of which salvation the prophets, that's up to John, have inquired and searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. See? They didn't have that same grace. There was grace in the Old Testament, but it's not the same that you and I have. It's right there, and yet the majority of teachers, including fundamentalists, refuse to teach their people this. What an amazing thing. Nothing great about Greg. I'm not up here tooting my own horn. There are many other preachers, especially in the past, who would teach this. But we're in a day where they will not put up with sound doctrine. And that's these preachers who are now going against the rapture and going against Israel and all this other stuff. That's why.
Yeah.
Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow.
Amen.
That was all prophesied, but they didn't even understand what they were saying. They didn't understand it. And folks, we're going to see as we continue through Luke, even Jesus' closest disciples and all of his apostles, none of them understood it until after he was resurrected and after the Holy Spirit was given in Pentecost. That's a fact. Now read verse 12 with me. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now, that's why is the least in the kingdom greater than John the Baptist? For all the reason we just said, you even got it up on the Old Testament prophets and the angels. And you're going to judge angels.
Amen.
You don't have time for that, do we? So we'll have the musicians come forward as we close this thing up. Ezra says, not a minute too soon.
You need some tea.
But I just want to close with this. Simple faithfulness. That's it. Will you be great in the kingdom? All you have to do is be faithful.
Yep.
That's all God has asked you to do. And if you will be faithful, then when you go to heaven, Jesus is going to look at you and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And folks, that's what you ought to be living for. Are you living for that day when you see Jesus and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant? When you see people fall off and go off into carnality, fleshliness, error of any kind, you're looking at somebody who is not living for that day. You're looking at somebody who is living for the right here and now, which could be over in a second. But when you yourself, all you can do is take care of yourself. You yourself live that life faithful. And God's going to be pleased. And you can face life and deal with life knowing that God's happy with me. Even if other people aren't happy with me, God's happy with me. Amen. All these people going off into this apostasy and all this liberal woke nonsense and all that stuff and not happy with you, God's happy with you.
Amen.
That's the one that matters. So let's turn to page 308. 308 in the hymn book is Higher Ground. And you can stand if you're able. All four verses. Higher Ground. We just know it's way up there. Now, we love Brother Doug, and is he the only July birthday? Wait a minute. This is July, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, so Joe Biden was wrong yesterday.
It's
when he
not
called
your
August.
Birthday this month.
I'm just kidding. Who?
Nick.
Oh, he's not here, so he's got to come. Oh, he is? When's he going to be home?
End of the month.
Oh, well. We'll let him eat August cake then. All right, so Brother Johnny's got his music all hooked up. We're going to sing two verses. Happy birthday. Everybody stare at Doug and make him feel as uncomfortable as possible.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Doug. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. You took the gift of salvation.
Brother Doug. How old are you in the Lord?
Fifty-five, if I'm correct, yeah,
because I'm 50 and I was born 5 years after you got saved.
Yeah, 55 years.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? All right, let's go have some sandwiches, sides, and cake downstairs in the BBF cellar.